It's really interesting what's been happening so far. And Angie said today, you know, we're all about freedom this morning. We're all about freedom. And freedom is something we really all really want, isn't it? We want to be free to be totally ourselves. And you know what? There are a lot of things that stop us being free. And as Christians, we tend to have gone to one place and one place only. And that place is around our beliefs. We've tended to say, if I believe more, I'll be okay. Yeah. If I believe more, if I work on that belief dynamic, I'll actually be fine. But actually, do you know what? We're far more complex than that as people. Far more complex than that. And I'm going to show you in Scripture how that we live at various levels in our lives. And how God wants to come and meet us at every single level of those lives. And there are different points in your life when different levels come crying out because of different situations, and you're going to see that. So what we're going to do is we're going to take you through Psalm 22. So if you've got a Bible, we're going to look at Psalm 22. Then we're going to look at Psalm 23. But before we do that, I gave Beth a very easy challenge. Because I like setting people up. I said to her this. I said, imagine that she's standing in front of the Lord. And imagine she's there in heaven. And imagine you've got all the throne of all the nations gathered together. Isn't this going to be amazing when we're there? All the nations gathered together. No pressure. And imagine Jesus is there. And you walk in and you've got one song to sing him. Just one song. You've got one thing to say to him. What's the one song, Beth? So she's going to sing it. That's cool, isn't it? No pressure.
Okay. It's a very powerful song, which I really love. Of Christ on the inside of me. Where we set our feet, captivity is broken as we proclaim He is Lord in this place.
Thank you.
truth in our right hand. You're our weapon, you're our shield.
That's pretty good, wasn't it? Thank you so much. That was amazing, wasn't it? Let's just be with that for a moment, shall we? Just be with that. There are lines in there that are lines for you, so just be with those lines. The lines that resonated for you, be with those lines. So, King David, adulterer, murderer, conspirator, children totally out of control. Yet, a man after God's own heart. I find that quite encouraging. Personally, haven't been too much murdering in my life, too much adultery in my life. My kids are a handful, but not that bad. Not as bad as coming against me in my lowest hour. And what I love about the Psalms, and it was amazing, Ian, reading out that psalm at the beginning and what we've just heard, is the Psalms takes you to a place that is really the inside place. It's the really private place. It's the soul. And that's why the Psalms are so powerful, because they take you right to the heart of who we are and of who this man David really was. And we see in Psalm 20 through 2, this incredible warrior king, the anointed one of all Israel. You know, Saul has slain his thousands. David has slain his tens of thousands. The most powerful man in this dynasty. A really major, major political player of the day. A major tactician and general, a major artist, a major thinker. This man had it all. And this is what he says in Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Hello? You are so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning. O my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, you're just silent. Yet you are enthroned as a holy one. You are the praise of Israel, and your fathers put their trust. They trusted you and you delivered them. They cried to you and you were, and they were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. But listen to this for a personal statement. But I am a worm, not a man. Oh, my word. Scorned by men, despised by people, all who see me mock me and hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue, let them deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust, even at the mother's breast from birth, I was cast upon you. And from my mother's womb you have been my God, and you'll not be far from me, nor trouble is near. There is no one to help. There's no one to help. Many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions tearing prey open their mouths against me. I'm poured out like water and my bones are out of joint. My heart is turned to wax. It's melted away with me. My strength is dried up. I'm like a potsherd. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth and you lay me in a dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. And then this is extraordinary. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all of my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments amongst men and cast lots for my clothing. That's a very interesting reference, isn't it? So even in his most broken, destroyed place, he can't stop being a prophet. Yeah? Extraordinary, isn't it? Can we flip up that slide for me? Is that all right with the words on? This doesn't work because I'm not great with technology. Is it going to come up? In Psalm 22, he is asking a series of questions. He's saying, who am I? What are my beliefs and values? What about capability? What can I and can't I do? What behavior do I have? And what environment am I in? And for you and I, the crunch issue is not values and beliefs. The crunch issue is identity. And we operate at all these different levels. And there are times when the real biggie for us is environment. There are times when this is an absolute major bugbear to us. We haven't got a job, or our house hasn't worked out, or we're in four places at one time. Sound familiar, Moody's? So the Moody's become very moody in these environments, believe me. There's a lot of moody going on here. Yeah? Sometimes it's around, I'm not sure if I can do it. Particularly for us guys. It's around capability. Believe me, when the heating system in my house explodes and water comes pouring through a ceiling, there is one word in my head, capability. Alistair, you have none. Get a plumber. You have no capability whatsoever. Sometimes around values and beliefs. One of my best friends, who's in the Marlow congregation, Paul and Sarah, had a little boy called Joshua. At the age of nine, Joshua, in 6 weeks, died of a brain tumour. From nothing, dead in 6 weeks, my godson. When you hit that stuff, what you really hit is not your values and beliefs. You hit your identity. You hit, who am I? Am I a father? Am I not a father? Who am I? And who is God? Yes? When you hit the big stuff. So, this is the thought of the day. If we can begin to really find the Christ in these areas, I think we'll be a lot more whole. And I think we'd be in a lot better position to actually deal with life and actually give something away of the greatness of God. And I want to show you in Psalm 23 how David gets there. And it's just amazing. It's just amazing. Because you have this situation where he comes from this time where he's saying, I am but a worm. I'm absolutely nothing. I mean, what lower metaphor could he use, yeah, than a worm? I can't think of one, personally. What more hostility could he use than lions and bulls rearing around him? What more brokenness could he talk about than ultimate thirst and bones that are just hurting? Then return to the dust of the earth, potsherd, dust, ash, back to the earth, yes? God formed us out of the earth, yes? Right back to the beginning, right back to Genesis. A total recoil of all that God's done, yeah? I formed you out of the earth, I breathed into you, I formed you out of dust. He's a prophet again. He's going right back to the dust again. Yeah? Right back to the ashes and saying, I'm destroyed. Do you see? Let me throw this in very quickly. God's plan for you has never changed and is on track. And God's plan starts in Genesis chapter 1. God's plan is very simple. He wants to walk with you in intimacy and he wants you to govern. To govern, to have authority. The ultimate mandate of humanity is to intimate with God, and then Genesis 1:28, to fill the earth, subdue it, and rule over it. That's it. And the whole of creation is waiting for the sons of God to come on their own and to understand that, to really grab that identity. We've all seen power without intimacy, and we know what it looks like. It's ugly. We've seen a shadow of intimacy with no power, and quite frankly, it's just selfish. It's just worship that goes nowhere. It's just selfish. But when we can link together intimacy and authority, then we're really onto something. So, when I find I'm moving in authority, and I'm getting a bit big-headed and a bit arrogant, because I'm, of course, the only person who ever gets like that, I find a really good place to go is to intimacy. And that checks me. Yeah? And when I'm feeling very, very intimate and very, very close to the Lord, one of the first things I ask him is this question: what do you have me to do? So when I'm in worship, like we've just been in, which is good, good worship, the thing I'm asking is this question: so, Father, what is it you want me to do? I'm in the central room now. I'm in the command room. I'm in the holiest of holies. So please give me an instruction. What do you want me to do? And what happens to people just carrying all this intimacy? Oh, that was a lovely time. And they never get anywhere. Nothing ever changes. Because they stayed in intimacy and they haven't moved into authority. Because mission is at the center of who we are. You can't get away from it. Mission is at the heart of the gospel. Yes? That's why Christ came, yeah? He came to take authority, yeah? So if Jesus behaved like that, you wouldn't be here. Hello? If he'd just been intimate with the Father, just stay with the Father in heaven, just been intimate, you wouldn't be here. But because he came to an earth and subdued it and took authority over the earth, that's why something's happening in your lives. There's something in this room, and you need to do less worshipping, less praying, and get out there and do something. Sorry, but you do. Others of you, you could do a bit more intimacy. Because you're so into the function, intimacy doesn't kick in. And then you find behaviour comes ugly. That's the tension. Just a side thought. Psalm 23. Here's the man who's called himself a worm. Here's a man who's got the bulls of Bashan circling around him. Here's a man who's got the lions at his feet. Here's a man who's broken to ashes. First line: the Lord is my shepherd. Oh my God. Everything comes out of that line. So what's your environment like, David? The Lord is my shepherd. What are your values and beliefs like? The Lord is my shepherd. How good a king are you? The Lord is my shepherd. How good are you being a Christian? The Lord is my shepherd. I've discovered something. It's a lot easier being a sheep than a king. One of the dangers of some of our thinking theology is we feel we've got to do all these great things, be all these great, great people, and achieve all these things. We have to be good at prayer, good at prophecy, good at this, good at that, good at caring, good at this, good at that. You've got to be like flipping Ronaldo on a football pitch. You just can't do it. It's so simple. You just got to be a sheep. I can do that. But I can get away with that one. I think I'm brighter than a sheep. I think I can do that thing. Yeah? What do sheep do? That's very good. That's a great answer. Bar poo and follow the shepherd. And follow. It's extraordinary. So David's first line is around identity. He understands, and this is what's so amazing about that song that you sang, that when I'm in worship, he's inside of me. That was amazing, that link, beautiful link. And what was said at the beginning by Ian, that lovely link from Psalm, we look around, we see we're all doing really, really well. Or am I the only one? We see others succeeding more than we do. All gets a bit tricky, doesn't it? At times. Or am I the only one? I've been walking along the river for a charity walk I did a few weeks ago. So I walked 50K for charity a few weeks ago. You are allowed to be impressed by that, by the way. The only problem was I committed house envy. Because I was walking along the river and I committed so much house envy, it was a nightmare. And I've got a nice house, but boy, did I commit house envy. It was bad. But when you enter the sanctuary and you go to your identity, so David had learned a lesson. He'd learned, I can't be a king. I can't be the great warrior. I can't win all the battles. I can't always get it all right. I can't always make it. But one thing I can do is follow the Father. So I'll just be a sheep. And out of my sheep I will govern. And out of my sheep I will lead. And I'll be the king of Israel out of being a sheep. And I won't walk away from the hard questions. I won't walk away from the difficult situations. In fact, if anything, I'll step into them even quicker. But I'll step into them knowing the Lord is my shepherd. So I'm about to give this talk. I did a stupid thing, which was I looked at my emails. Stupid thing to do. And of course, I found 3 negative emails to do with my business. 1, 2, 3. Boom, 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 boom. I thought, there you go. I know what's going on here. I'm not stupid. I've been here before. Delete, the Lord is my shepherd. Delete, the Lord is my shepherd. Delete, the Lord is my shepherd. I won't save those 3. Who am I? The Lord is my shepherd. Now just watch these levels come out as he writes through. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Which one's that? Environment. God is so concerned with your environment. He wants to take you to places that are good places. And some of you could just do with spending a bit more time in the countryside. And just getting to where are the good places for you? Where are the quiet places for you? Where are the places where God really meets you? Where are the environments where it really happens for you? What about a bit of indulgence? Oh, a bit of luxury. Oh, a bit of enjoying yourself. Doesn't have to be around a lot of money. For me, luxury is getting on a tube and standing in the Tate Modern for an hour. For me, that's luxury. It doesn't cost a lot. It's a tube and a bus and a go, or whatever you get there. But for me, an hour in the Tate is like an hour in heaven. Yeah. For me, an hour in my garden is like an hour in heaven. Yeah. Whatever your thing is. Because God wants you to be there. Skip church sometimes on a Sunday morning, Ian didn't hear this, and go and be in your environment. All go next week, because that'll be comedy moment. That'd be absolute comedy moment. Collins, for those of you who don't know, is the leader of our church. That'll be absolute comedy. That would just be comedy. That would be comedy. Yeah, yeah. Perfect. Perfect. Fortunately, the plot has been revealed. He leads me besides quiet waters. What is that? What is it? He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness. What is that? It's a value and a belief. It's a belief. He just guides me in paths of righteousness. It's a belief. It's a belief framework that you live under. He's guiding you. Do you see? It's beautiful, isn't it? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. My heck, what is that? Environment, environment, environment. The worst environment of all. The worst environment of all. The Lord is my shepherd. In the worst environment of all, the Lord is my shepherd. Wow. It's great, isn't it? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. What is that? Capability. Massive capability. Evil cannot have me. Hello? Stop worrying about the enemy and realize he's defeated. I fear no evil. Evil's not going to have a hold on me. Why? Guess why? Say it again. That's why. I fear no evil, for you are with me. My rod and my staff, they comfort me. What is the rod? Do you know what a rod is used for? Clubbing bears and lions. It had a big, like, knurled thing on the end of it. It's for attacking. It's beating off the enemy. And it was for guarding the sheep. It was around protection. What's my staff around? It's around pulling the sheep in and resting and clearing the way. Beautiful, isn't it? My rod and my staff. So the days to use the club and the days to use the staff. And in both of them, God's there with you. Just a thought. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. This is what happens in church. So often this is. We do all that. We're in the front row. More, Lord! More, Lord! Fill me with more! Fill me with the Holy Spirit! More, Lord! More, Lord! Fill me with the Holy Spirit! More, Lord! More, Lord! Fill me with the Holy Spirit! Who wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit in a new way? Shall I tell you what to do? Go and sit at a table with your enemy. Guess what it says? At the table of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. If you sit in the house of God, you don't really need much oil. Go and sit at a table of an enemy. Then you need some oil. Then you need some anointing. Then you need some authority and power. When you start taking on the structure of this nation, when you start taking on greed, and you start taking on politics, and you start taking on the government, and you start taking on the judiciary, when you start taking on things that are morally corrupt in our society, that's when you need some oil. When you start going into our schools and actually changing the lives of children, what is one of the things I try and do, that's when you need some authority. Hello? When you go into a situation and you're trying to help a broken family who are absolutely dysfunctional and you need to see the power of God, that's when you're facing the enemy. That's when you need some oil. there's a link. Lacking oil? Go and sit at the table of an enemy. Lacking anointing? Lacking a sense of strength and power? Go and get out there. Then you'll get some. That's my experience. The times in my life when I felt the greatest anointing have been the times I've been in the most danger. When I've been in a missions team in Bloemfontein, and Chris Harney was just been assassinated, Mandela's number two, and they were literally putting rubber tires on the road to kill us, and we're having to get out. That's when we found some authority, and I had to go in the front row and negotiate for lives of a car that we were in with 12 people on a mission trip in River Church. I think Colin was there, actually. That's when you find whether you've got authority or not. What's going on inside of me that day? Am I scared? Or am I going to fight for lives? It's all gone quiet over there. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. What a belief. And listen to it. He starts with identity. Where does he finish up? For I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. It's good, isn't it? So for some of us at the moment today, the real, real challenge in our faith is around environment. The big, big challenge for us today is around my environment stinks. I don't have enough money, or my home's not working, or the things to do with my family aren't working. There's a whole lot of stuff around that that just is not working. Yeah? For some of us, it's around my behaviours. It's around what I do. It's around who I am. I haven't talked about that very much, but it's around how I conduct myself. And we often feel trapped by behaviours, by patterns of behaviours in our lives that we just can't get rid of. Ian was telling me just this week, a tiny little thing for him is he just bites his nails, finds it hard to stop. It's like a battle that, you know, bugs me. I've had some behaviours around my food that I've had to change. But not eating very well. So I had to change my diet and do various things. Keep my behaviours in line with what God wants for me. My temple, my body's a temple of the living God. And I've always been very good at caring for my body. And I've had to learn to change my behaviours to honour the temple that I walk in. I've realised some of my behaviours that I'm really good at giving answers. I'm not very good at listening. Or am I the only one? I'm quick to judge. I find the thing for me is there's a video that runs in my mind all the time, and it's just all the memories. It's all those unfinished conversations, and at times unfinished conversations are really unhelpful. And they're about people that have done me in, and I just rerun the video with me winning. Or am I the only one? That's a great video in my life. Runs quite a lot, that one. There's a road I have to pass every day to work. And in this road lives a couple who absolutely ripped me off in business. And day after day after day, as I come to the junction, I just feel that inside of me. And one day I thought, this is flaming ridiculous. So do you know what I did? I decided every time I got to that junction, I would bless them. I would bless them. Every time that thought came, I said, God, bless them. Just bless them. Just bless them. And you know what? I prayed for their blessing in the very area where they'd ripped me off, which was around money. I said, God, may they prosper. May you bless them. Believe me, at first, it was very hard to pray that prayer. I believe in my spirit, I've now got to a place where I met them and they've done well, I'd say, I'm so pleased for you. I think they'd be quite confused. Because it wasn't their issue, it was my issue. Because it wasn't bringing me freedom. Yeah. It was tying me up. So behaviour is a big area. But do you know what really, really changes your behaviour? Guess what really changes your behaviour? Who am I? I have the privilege of working with an organisation called Oasis with Steve Chalk, and I'm in the process of, over the last 3 years, of creating a brand for schools. So what happens is we go into schools and I meet with the head teacher and I help them articulate their vision for the school, their values and beliefs, and I help them portray that vision through the school with banners, plasmas, graphics, all those kind of things. And Steve came and spoke to us 5 years ago, met me 6 years ago. I won't go into the whole story, but it's an incredible story how we got together, extraordinary supernatural story. And he came to me and he said, I want you to help me with my brand because I realize it's all over the shop for all the various structures we're dealing with. And at that point, Oasis was, I think it was about 5 million in value as a charity. And it was doing some great work, like you might have heard of Stop the Traffic. I don't know if you've heard of that, which is a child trafficking thing. Steve was involved in that. And they got the first house in London dealing with street kids and that sort of stuff. And God spoke to him in his childhood when he was walking by in Croydon. And God said to him, you're going to build three things. You're going to build a school, a church, and a hospital. So he became a Baptist minister and started a church. So now he's at the beginning of building these schools. And what happened was that he came to us and he said, I want you to articulate my vision. So we sat with Steve the whole morning. And then we brainstormed it as a creative team. And we bought 6 meters of rope and we sprayed orange. And we created this massive circle on the floor with this rope. And then Richard, my creative director, took Steve by the hand. And Steve said, oh dear, I know what's going to happen here. Something's going to happen to me, isn't it? And Richard said, come and stand inside of the circle. And he stood inside of the circle. And Richard said, this is the circle of inclusion. Anybody can come to the table of the Lord. And everything you do in Oasis is about inclusion. So that symbol is going to run in everything that we do. Roll it on 5 years. We're at the open day for the first academy in Enfield. 1,000 kids, inner city area, deprived, Christian school. They have an open day. The mayor turns up. Everything's fantastic. I'm invited to go there. And John, the principal at the time, says, oh, this girl called Deborah has got a little poem she wants to read out. She just gave it to me, so we're going to do it now. And I can't do a West Indian accent, but she was just one of those gorgeous Caribbean girls in a uniform. You know, she just smiled. That amazed me to have a smile that's bigger than your face. Do you know what I mean? Just fantastic, isn't it? And she stood there, and I can't do the accent. It sounds, when I do accents, I understand Pakistani or Indian. They're rubbish, my accent. But anyway, she does this whole thing, and then she says, when I came out, I was bullied, and I was humiliated, and I was dead. In my spirit, I was dead. And this school has taught me respect. And it's all summed up in one thing. It is this circle of inclusion. At which point, tears ran down my face, and I lost it totally. Sometimes God just takes a drawing. Just what I do. And he touches it. So the rule we have in all Oasis schools is everybody's included. Doesn't matter what ethnic background, whether your special needs, whatever you are included. And you can come and stand inside this circle. But once you're inside this circle, we're going to agree to leave this circle together with transformational change in your life. We're not going to leave you in the circle. And then from the circle, we're going to take you to a new place, which we call Windows of Opportunity. We've created the next brand idea, which is all around Windows of Opportunity. We've come here to create opportunity. God has come here to include you in and to give you an opportunity. So for you this morning, we're going to have an honest moment now. If for you it's this is the battleground, the moment, I'd like you to stand. I'm not going to pull you out the front and embarrass you. I'm just going to pray for you from the front. For you, if it's environment, I really would like you to stand. If that's the thing that really needs nailing at the moment, I'd like you to stand. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to put out your hands. I want to read something to you. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He makes you lie down in green pastures. He leads you beside quiet waters. He restores your soul. And we pray for the restoration of your inner person, your soul, right now in Jesus' name. And we come against the attacks of the enemy on your environment. But more than that, we ask you to take authority in Christ around your environment. And through intimacy and authority, to change your environment. Behavior. Who's struggling with some behavioral thing? There's nobody, that's fine. Oh. Close your eyes again. Most poor behaviors are around one thing. It's around wanting something. If you think about it. The Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. That need that drives your behavior will be met in Christ. Whatever that need is that drives that poor behavior, it will be met. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And we call you to a new day. And we call you to being a sheep. We just call you to following the Father. And say, when you get it wrong, just get up again and go again. For grace is here today. And you won't always get it right, and you have good days and bad days, but, you know, the shepherd loves the sheep. He can't stop loving the sheep. He can't stop loving you. And understand, at the root, whatever you're dealing with, God loves you and wants to help you change and move forward. The Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. Okay, sit down. What about a capability? I'm standing for capability now, by the way. Like some things I'm moving into, which is a real career stretch for me. So we'll just pray this for me if nobody else stands up, because I need this one today. I'm thinking, oh, capability. Oh. Comes down to very practical things, capability, sometimes, doesn't it? So we're trying to land this massive contract that involves me really going up a gear in certain areas of my career. And I'm sitting there thinking, if they only knew who I was, they would not ask me to do this. That's what's going on inside of me. On the bad days. On the good days, I think they've met me already. They bought me already. It's me that walks into the room, not my pieces of paper or my experience. That's the battle inside of me at the moment. I was being really honest with you. That's what I'm struggling with at the moment. Particularly, I'm working alongside really major industry experts who've done it for 25 years, and I'm the novice in it. And I'm not used to that. I'm used to being the expert, you know. I'm used to being the one that's done it for 25 years. So it's all around capability for me. It's all around how am I? He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I speak of your capabilities and I say, God will give you the staff to lean on and God will give you the authority you need in that situation. He'll give you comfort and he'll give you strength. And I speak that into your capabilities. So where you need comfort, where you need reassurance, where you need confidence, he will come. Where you need authority, where you need discipline, where you need governance, he will come. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. My rod and my staff, they comfort me. And it will be a comfortable experience, not a difficult experience. Okay. Beliefs and values. Anybody want to stand for that? Good for you, Sue. Well, Sue, just sit down for a minute because I want to say a bit so you won't keep standing for a long time. I just want to say this to you. It's a great little test to do in your walk with the Lord around values and beliefs. We've got 5 minutes, so we're all right, okay? This is a great little test. Right, think of the names of God that you know. Saviour. Yep. Overcomer. Yep. Healer. Yep. Judge. Yep. All those things. Any others? Restorer. Provider. Saviour. Prophet. Priest. King. Yes. Think of all those areas. You will travel more regularly to certain parts of his personality. So for me, the hard place to travel to is the judge. Guess where I'm going to grow the fastest when I travel towards the judge element? Because that's where my biggest learnings are going to be. There's a thought. If I stay the whole time in Saviour, but I don't understand the authority in the judge bit, there's the whole dimension of his personality and character I have not understood. And what we do, we're like spiritual tourists. We always go to our favourite places. We don't go and discover the very place where he wants to go, because that is the painful and the challenging place. And for me, that place is judge. So my weakness is I'll give away everything and then I get ripped off. So I've got to learn to move to judge. Does that make sense? For my wife Sandra, she's great on this. For her, she just says it's healing. Every time for her, it's healing. She finds that the hardest one to go to. Which is quite tough. We're in a church that talks a lot about healing. It takes quite a lot of balls to say that, I think. The thing is, I find when she prays, she has quite a lot of authority, actually. Because she knows where she is. So she prays out of what she has, even if it may be a low level, as she would put it, her words, not mine, of healing. How many times have you heard somebody pray for you for healing and you think, there's no way this is going to happen in a billion years, or am I the only one? Because you know there's no real authority you there, you know they're not really in that place, and you know basically it's all a load of hullabaloo. Or am I the only one? Then other people pray and you think there's authority there. Yeah? Because we're the body of Christ and we have different gifts and abilities. Some of us are good at this stuff, some of us aren't. Yeah? Well, where did I get to then? What was that on? Values and beliefs. Thank you. Sorry. Sue. So some of you might want to think about that again after all that. Anybody want to stand for values and beliefs? This is nice. There you go. Thought that might happen. God wants to meet you in your belief system. And God wants you to know that unbelief, let me put it a different way, a better word. Wrong word chose there. Doubt is not a sin. Doubt is simply a questioning that can often lead to faith. If you don't ask the right questions, you don't get the right answers. There's nothing wrong with asking the doubt question, as long as in your heart there is a response which is, I want to go to a place of faith. I might not be there yet, I might not get there yet, but I want to get there. Doubt is not a sin. I know I want to get to a higher place on healing, but I know I'm not there yet. I know I want to get to a higher place in terms of believing that the structure of this nation will be dramatically changed by the gospel, which is how I see revival, personally, rather than those people sitting in meetings. It's around the structure of the nation being changed. It's around the poor not being poor. It's around the marginalised not being marginalised. It's around the rich sharing their abilities. It's around our schools being filled with prayer and the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's around our pub being places of enjoyment, not where you go and get totally pissed. Hello? It's about changing the structures and fabrics of our society. For me, that's what revival looks like. Hello? It's around us sorting this whole sexuality issue and getting clear on it and actually knowing how to be inclusive and yet how to draw boundaries at the same time. It's around all that stuff. We say into your values and beliefs right now, we just speak into it that you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As my friend Lindsay says, welcome to the after show. Welcome to the after show. And I want to put in your hearts now, in the spirit, a vision of the after show, a vision of the days to come, right now, in your hearts. Thank you. Identity, who wants to stand for that? Anybody? You can stand for three or four things. I stand for the whole lot if it's me, virtually. I'm working on them all. Good for you, girl. You're getting a lot today. It's brilliant. It takes courage to stand four or five times. Close your eyes. It's so incredibly simple. The Lord is your shepherd. Let that go right into your spirit, right down deep. Every area where you feel there's a lack, every area where you feel out of control, every area where you feel oppressed, every area where you feel insecure, every area where you feel traumatized, every area where you feel not complete, every area where there's a lack, the Lord is your shepherd. Please sit. Let's pray, shall we? Why don't you just pray to your Father? Just talk to him now. Let's have some silence. We're not great at silence in church. We're doing a bit of silence now. No music, no nothing. Just you and the shepherd.